Welcome to The Jones Zone, a podcast by Daryl and JJ Jones, your resource for building wealth and knowledge in everything real estate. Your host, Daryl Jones, a top Orange County real estate agent, has been supporting homeowners for over 30 years. He is here to share his tips and advice, as well as insights from industry experts, to help you take your real estate game to the next level. Now, here's your host, Daryl Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Jones Zone. In this series of episodes, we explore the strategies and tools that you need to protect your assets, minimize taxes, and leaving a lasting legacy for your loved ones. Join us as we dive into the world of trust, wills, and powers of attorney and other key estate planning topics with our expert guest, legal advisor, Stephanie Kitza. Together, we will help you navigate this complex field with confidence, whether you're a real estate investor, a homeowner, or simply looking to plan for the future. This episode has the insight and advice you need to make the most of your estate planning journey. Sit back, relax, and let's get started this exciting and informative ride together. Welcome to the show, Stephanie. Please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, Stephanie.
Thanks for having me here, Daryl. I've been in a business and estate planning attorney for 26 years this year, and I started out only doing business work for my clients. But then I had this one client who had this complex family. Lots of different marriages, generations, everything going on in there. And I told him, look, you really need to get your estate plan in order and I'll get you referrals. And he said, no. And he just literally laughed in my face. And I said, hey, I'm not kidding. You really need to get this stuff in order because there's a lot of people and you're going to have a lot of conflict later on. And he said, no, you don't get it. You need to learn estate planning because no one else is going to get my family dynamic. So I did. It was back in 2000. I went and I took every course I could and did his estate planning. And ever since then, have been helping people with their businesses, making the money, and then with their estate plans, having it go where they want it to go.
So tell me, Stephanie, what is estate planning and why is it so important for homeowners?
It's interesting. Everybody thinks estate planning is just about what happens when you die, but it's really about your life and your legacy. So estate planning should include, if it's done properly, things that protection documents that come into play when you're alive but incapacitated, and then after you pass away. So estate planning is important not only after you pass away, but also while you're alive.
It's funny, I'm handling a few probate transactions right now, and they are quite the pain, I have to say.
Probate is a pain.
Yeah. And those, of course, are people the owner had left it to their heirs without having a trust in place. And boy, we have been waiting for months to get the approval. And while this is happening, the client, the homeowner who inherited the house, has to make the mortgage payment, the insurance payments, the utility payments, not to mention the care for the house. You know, you can't leave a house sitting vacant forever. You need to go and flush the toilets and run the faucets, et cetera. However, so tell us more about why is it so important for homeowners to have the title be in either trust or any other possibilities that they can hold title that would ease the stress on their heirs?
Well, it's interesting, Daryl, because people think they haven't done their estate planning, but the reality is in California, if you haven't done it yourself, the state's already done it for you. Mm. So if you pass away without a trust or without a will or any other estate planning documents, the state has a plan for you. And that necessarily has to go through probate, and the court's going to tell you how your assets get distributed. And it is true, when you're in probate, you can't do what you want with the money. You can't access it. So property taxes need to get paid, maintenance needs to get done on the house, but the heirs and the people who are trying to...
are basically responsible for the house.
Yeah, they need to be able to maintain that house. Or what happens is it can go into foreclosure, it can get tax liens on it, homeowners associations can put liens on it. So the option is either to advance the money on behalf of the person who died. But often people don't have that kind of cash sitting in their bank account that they can use freewheeling for somebody else. Otherwise, bills don't get paid, homes go into foreclosure, homes get tax liens on them, and it becomes quite the mess. If the home was in a trust, then the trustee could literally just hire you to put that house on the market and sell it. The trustee can also access any liquid funds of that estate. so that the bills can get paid and the trustee doesn't have to advance it out of its own pocket.
Wow. So it's actually, and this is possibly counterintuitive, it's actually cheaper to put it in a trust overall when you're looking at more than likely in terms of, especially if you put a value on stress to your heirs, that it actually is. Could you say that it's literally cheaper to put it in a trust? Would you say that?
It is definitely cheaper to put it in a trust. If you just have a will, you're going to probate. If you don't have anything, you're going to probate. If you have a trust, you can access everything quickly. So you can sell it faster. You can maintain it faster. You could even rent it out if you want to, and you can manage that property.
Yeah, I've got multiple transactions where a couple that are probate and a couple that are trusts. And the trusts are so much smoother. In fact, I also had the unfortunate experience of having a friend of mine pass away last year, and he was younger. Well, younger, I don't know, this it's subjective, I suppose, but he was in his 40s and obviously not anticipating death at such an early age. And so he didn't have a will, and he's going through probate. And he's actually, I know him, obviously he's a good friend of mine, and someone who he wishes wouldn't have got any of this inheritance is getting half of it because he didn't have it in a trust, I suppose, or didn't maybe have it in a will either. But I'm sure he would not have wanted that to happen in any event. So yeah, I know that my experience has been dealing with trusts is 10 times easier than probates. I shouldn't even say easier. It's just smoother. I mean, there's less things to be done, less extra things to be done. And we're also not waiting at the mercy of, for example, a court.
It's smoother. It's cheaper. And it's definitely faster. And there's a lot of things you can do with the trust that you couldn't otherwise do. For instance, your friend had half of his estate go to someone he didn't want to get it. In a trust, you get to say exactly who gets it. In a will, you get to say who gets it. But again, with the will, you still have to go through probate. And it's subject to the court agreeing to whatever you're doing and in the court's timeline. I have one probate matter that I took on to help put across the finish line. It's been going on since 2012. For 11 years, this thing has been going on. And somebody passed away without a will. And it's gone to the court. The court gets to decide who gets it. There's been different fraudulent stuff going on in this family. Numerous relatives trying to make a grab. And it's a mess. With the trust, it could have been avoided.
What about someone who has only a will but no trust?
If somebody has only a will but no trust, it still has to go through probate.
Okay, so you're not really, you maybe get a little extra benefit in terms of making sure, hopefully, that the people who you want to inherit your property gets it. However, it's still the hassles of probate, so you need both.
It's still the hassles, and it's still the cost of probate. And in California, attorney's fees for probate, it goes per statute calculation. So it doesn't matter what the attorney does, it's going to get funded per this statute. And it's extraordinary, the fees that are involved. A trust is much cheaper than going through probate, and the trust administration is cheaper together with the combined cost of doing a good estate plan is still cheaper by at least three times, even sometimes more than that, than going through probate.
Yeah, I'm always surprised how many people actually don't have their property in a trust. I suppose it's just a lack of knowledge of knowing, gosh, the benefits of having a trust.
It is, and it's time delay, or they think that, you know, you've got to be rich to do it. And honestly, anybody in California that owns any type of real property is wealthy enough to do this, kind of automatically qualifies you for doing it. Or they think they don't have children, so why should I do it? Or I don't have family. But that's almost sometimes the key time to do it, because you need to set forth who you want to get your stuff, whether it's friends or what have you, or who have you, because otherwise the state has this chart and they're going to go by this chart and it's going to say, give it to your kids. If you don't have kids, we're going to give it to your parents. If your parents aren't alive anymore, we'll give it to your siblings. If your siblings aren't alive anymore, you don't have one, then we're going to go. And it just keeps going out and out and out and out and out. Now, I had a client who came to me and she was shocked. She received an inheritance from a cousin she never knew, and it was something like a seventh cousin.
Wow.
And they tracked her down, and she had never known. I mean, it was great for her. She got several hundred thousand dollars, but had no idea
so
where
should,
this was coming from.
Should we be getting reacquainted with all of our cousins out there?
Well, if they have estate plans, it's probably not going to go to you through the estate anyway. Another reason why people don't do estate planning that I've come across is they think you have to be sick or they have to be old. And like in your friend's case, he passed away in his 40s. And sadly, I mean, it can happen to us at any time. And I think we really learned that through COVID because we had kids dying all the way through, you know, what we would typically think of and have elders pass away. So you never know.
And then tell me this, how can estate planning help homeowners protect their home and other assets from potential creditors or legal claims?
Well, with a homeowner, one thing that everybody should do is file the homestead exemption. And that's an easy thing, and it's separate and aside from your estate plan. But with an estate plan, you can do several things. But first, however, it's important to point out that a revocable trust, which is what people typically have when they think of a kind of a common estate plan, doesn't actually protect their house from creditors because it's just really the same as if they owned it themselves. The only way the house is going to be protected from creditors is to put it in an irrevocable trust or some kind of company or some kind of alternative thing. However, a trust can make it harder to get to, so creditors don't want to mess with it just because it's going to be more work to get to it. The other thing, too, is you can do lifetime asset protection trusts so that your kids, their inheritance is always protected and their kids' creditors can never get to it. With a trust, you can also give someone a lifetime right to live in a property.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah, where someone passes away and they allow for someone that was a great benefit to them in their life to live in this house as long as they live.
Yes.
Rent-free.
Absolutely. They can do it rent-free. They can provide the maintenance on the house, or they can say that that person gets to live in their house, but they have to pay rent or they have to pay into the trust. So you can do it either way. And that's one of the great things about trust is that you can provide for that. And while that's happening, the person who's living there, they get a definite housing situation and nobody else can take that away from them. If they get sued because they don't have any money or they did something wrong or who knows what happened to them, their creditors still can't get to that house. But if the house was left to them and just distributed outright, then the equity in that house is subject to the creditors coming after it.
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so it's common. It's good to do. I think it's a tool that a lot of times people should consider, but they don't.
How can homeowners use estate planning to minimize their taxes and maximize the value of their estate?
With estate planning, you can do all kinds of good stuff in it. First, you want to avoid estate taxes. Now, right now, they're not going to kick in unless each person's estate is more than $12.92 million. So a couple, you double that. But in 2025, that's going to go down to $6.2 million unless something changes. But the baseline is that no matter who's in office, there's some kind of an exemption amount that's going to apply. So with an estate plan, if you're going to go over that amount or you're close to that amount, there's many, many different kinds of vehicles that we can use to basically take assets out of your trust estate, keep it to the side and not have it counted as part of your estate for tax purposes. The other great thing, and this is really great for California, especially because our properties have gone up in value so much and continue to do so, is that your heirs can get a step up in basis on the property. And that's key. And a step up in basis is, let's see by example. So if you're my parents, my dad and my mom bought their house for $60,000, I think, back in 1976 or something like that. Their home is now worth, let's say, 1.3. So if they were to sell it right now, they would have a gain for tax purposes of, you know, over $1.2 million for capital gains tax.
Well, minus that they have a $500,000 exemption?
Or? Minus the exemption, correct. But if they were to give it to me, then I wouldn't get the increase in value. But if I inherit that property from them, then I get to inherit that property not at the value that they bought it from, but the value that it is on the day that they pass away.
Can I be even, I want to clear this up in case any people have questions about that specifically. So what you're saying, from what I understand, because I've done a lot of these sales. So for example, they bought it at $60,000. Let's say it's worth $1.3 million minus the $500,000 tax exemption that they get to have, the first $500,000.
For capital gains.
Capital gains, tax-free. And then they would theoretically get charged a tax on the additional $600,000 to $700,000.
Mm-hmm.
To whereas if they give it to you, then you're still responsible for receiving the gain when you go to sell it based on the $60,000, opposed to when they pass, or if when one passes and they leave it to you, it gets reevaluated at the value of the property at time of death. And so your new, let's say, basis or start point would be, in this case, if it's worth $1.3 million, then it would be $1.3 million. So you would essentially get that $600,000 to $700,000 tax free.
Yes, exactly so. So if I were to inherit the property tomorrow and then turn around and sell it the next day, I would have no gains to pay taxes on.
Wow.
Yeah, that's really significant. And a lot of times what's happening now is people think, oh, you know, my mom or my dad is getting sick or they can't handle it, you know, put me on the deed instead.
Yeah, not only that, I've seen that where people have to be really careful about adding people to deeds too. In that scenario, for example, I've seen it where, let's say they got it at $60,000 some 40 years ago or so. And then they add someone to the deed, it triggers a reassessment from the county assessor's office. And then not only do they not prevent really what they were trying to do, but they also cause their property taxes to go up, which is,
yeah.
Oh boy, that oftentimes is a bell that you cannot unring.
Property taxes is a whole nother nightmare, really, since this Prop 19. If my parents gifted me their house at 1.3, the new property tax basis is 1.3.
Opposed to 60,000.
Opposed to 60,000.
Enormous difference.
Enormous difference. It's going to be probably at least 10,000 a year, if not more.
Yeah.
But with Prop 19, the step up in basis works a little bit different because they changed it. So not all homes qualify. In Prop 19, for property tax purposes, you can inherit your parents' home. Has to be their primary residence, and you get a free $1 million gain. So they bought it at 60, you add $1 million on top of that, but you're still gonna get a tax implication and property tax increase on the $240,000 difference between the 60,000 plus the 1 million. So your property taxes are still gonna go up, but they're going to go up significantly less than they would have if the property was just given to you or you purchased it.
Right. That's when they pass and they leave it to you.
Yeah. So it's still a benefit for property taxes, but it's not as big a benefit as it was prior to Prop 19.
No.
Before Prop 19, you used to be able to inherit all property from whoever, your parents or whoever it is that's giving you the property.
The seventh cousin.
There you go. But not just the primary residence. You'd get the step up for property tax purposes on primary residence and any rental residences as well. Second homes.
Does Prop 19 wipe out all the second homes and rentals in
it
terms
does.
Of, wow. So your property taxes literally go up pretty much at time of death on your rental properties?
It does.
Wow.
It's really significant. And what it's doing is preventing people who are inheriting rental properties from keeping those rental properties because the property taxes have gone up so much.
Yeah, it becomes cost prohibitive.
It is cost prohibitive.
Now, I heard also regarding a primary residence, though, back to a primary residence, someone who inherits the property can move into the property or they need to move into the property to prevent something. What is that something?
They need to move into the primary residence for at least a year in order to avoid that increase in property taxes.
So even on the primary residence of this new Prop 19, in order to keep those property taxes low at the, let's say, the $60,000 purchase price opposed to $1.3 million, the child, let's say in this case, would inherit the property, would literally have to move into the house in order to keep those property taxes low as well.
Yes. And that's one of the great things that you can still do with trust planning, because if somebody owns multiple properties and they say, we want our two kids to get everything equally, so we want each kid to get half of the house, half the bank account, half of this, half of that. Well, that really messes up Prop 19, because I doubt that both kids are going to want to move back to that house. Through trust planning, what you can do is you can say they divide our estate, our total estate, equally, but they can divide that however they want. So one kid who wants to move into that house can just take the house, and then the other kid gets an offset. They might get more cash, they might get more stock, they might get other things, so that at the end, the inheritances match, but still the one that's living in the house gets to take full advantage as much as possible anyways, as Prop 19 allows, to keep the property taxes low.
Well, that is very significant.
It really is. It really is.
So that's just another benefit of having your property in trust, or all your properties in a trust, opposed to...
Yeah. Well, if you have properties, you definitely need to have your primary residence and maybe a vacation home in your trust. If you're renting out anything, you really need to consider putting those in an LLC or something like that. And then what you do is you put the LLC ownership interest into the trust. So the trust owns the LLC. The LLC owns the rental properties. So there's an additional layer of asset protection, and you can still handle those properties through your trust.
And then the negative of having the LLC is just that you do have to provide an extra tax for that entity each year. Is that fair to say?
You sure do.
Yeah.
You sure do. So you have to figure out when it's worth it or not. And honestly, one rental property may not be worth it to form in a whole nother company. You might want to look more toward just increasing your personal liability insurance through an umbrella policy to better protect that. But once you get more than one rental property, you really do need to start looking at an LLC for asset protection, liability protection, and the like, as well as for estate planning.
And to really make it as bulletproof as possible, if you were to do that, let's say you have five rental properties, you'd have five LLCs, correct? One, of course, you can do it various ways, but that would be the most bulletproof, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. So what happens is with an LLC, the assets that are in that particular LLC are what's exposed to the LLC's creditors. So if you had one house in the LLC, but your tenants in another property fell and tripped and hurt themselves, the tenants in the other property aren't going to be able to get to that house that's held in the other LLC.
And that's if you have, let's say, in this specific example of five rental properties in one, in separate LLCs.
In separate LLCs.
But let's say they were all five in one LLC, and then that still helps limit your liability, let's say, or your potential lawsuits or whatnot.
It does. So your personal assets aren't exposed. So if that tenant falls in one of them, then they can sue, and potentially, to pay any judgment, they could use, get to any of the properties, but they're never going to get to your primary residence or any of your personal bank accounts. That's all protected.
Nothing outside of the LLC.
So when thinking about LLCs for rental properties, you really need to think about the cost. Each LLC is going to file its own tax return. You're going to get a K-1 from it, and whether or not it's worth it. So for five properties, you might do two, maybe three. Sometimes if they're in different states, we divide it up by different states. You might consider doing the LLC out of state. But I think in the end, basically, it's when you get to that point, you really do need to talk to an attorney about it. And that attorney needs to work with your tax strategist and CPA, because you need to address it like a team.
Right.
I mean, at this point in my career, I can pretty much draft anything. But if it's not going to work for your CPA or your tax strategist, it's just not going to serve its purpose.
Yeah.
So you need a team.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I appreciate that. Thank you, Stephanie, so much. That information was absolutely invaluable. It's probably going to save a lot of hassle and money for a lot of people out there. I appreciate your information. It's been extremely helpful. Thank you. Today we talked about probate, how estate planning can protect you from creditors, the taxes that can differ between gifting and inheritance. Hugely important. Thank you, Stephanie, so much. Stephanie, tell us, how can our listeners find you?
My website is kitsislaw.com. That's KITZESLAW.com. Or my phone number is 949-517-2275. You can also text that number, or you can email me at stephanie@kitsislaw.com.
Fantastic. And hey, Stephanie, I want to thank you. She's doing something incredibly kind for all of our audience out there. Friends, as a bonus, mention the Jones Zone when you give Stephanie a call and receive a free family wealth planning session. That's a $750 value. So fantastic. Thank you, Stephanie, so much for doing that. And okay, well, everybody, have a great day. I hope you found this useful and tune in next week. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to The Jones Zone, your resource for building wealth and knowledge in everything real estate. If you found this information and insights shared in today's episode valuable, be sure to head over to iTunes to rate the show, leave a review, and subscribe so that you don't miss another episode. Remember, when it comes to real estate, knowledge is power. Stay informed and stay ahead of the game with us. I'll be back next week with even more expert advice and industry insights. Don't miss it. Thank you.